Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, yo, what's going on? My name's Jeff. This is The Rant. It's Monday, December 30th, and this will be the last edition of The Rant for 2024. Still going to do two podcasts later in the week. In fact, I'm going to do one more betting-centric on Friday, so that'll be a little bit of fun. But Thursday and Friday shows, I'm going to take New Year's Eve, New Year's Day off because I'm tired. 17 weeks is a long time. But we still obviously have Monday Night Football to go. I want to unpack all the action. As you can see, this is a little bit of a shorter show today. Not going to spend a lot of time because we don't have to talk about waivers, really. I know there are some leagues who have a Week 18 Fantasy Championship. I'll still have rankings and stuff up at FTNFantasy.com, but I admit I put very little effort into Week 18. And, you know, really, I think for leagues out there who do a Week 18 championship, you're screwing yourself. If you have the Chiefs, you're screwing yourself. Maybe the Bills, you're screwing yourself. The Eagles, you're screwing yourself. These are some of the best teams. These are the teams that are chock full of fantasy assets, and they may not be playing their starters this upcoming week. Like, all that work, 4.5 months of work to come down to that, I mean, I don't know. I did mention this on my radio show. One of the things that you could do if you really want action in Week 18 is pretty simple. Have a Week 17 championship, and then in Week 18, tell everybody in your league who wants to be in it, like, hey, let's chuck $5, $10, whatever, into a pot. We'll all set a lineup, and whoever scores the most points gets the pot, you know? And then, you know, for the teams who didn't make the playoffs or maybe got bounced in round one, they get another shot at maybe making some dough. And I don't know, it's a little way to get some action in there. Anyway, let's talk through what we saw here. Chargers defeating the Patriots, not even close. We're hearing Drake may not play this upcoming week as well. So there's that. But Ladd McConkey, hell of a season, 77 catches, 1,054 receiving yards. Both of those are Chargers rookie records. Justin Herbert passing Peyton Manning for the most passing yards in the first five seasons of a quarterback's career in NFL history. That's pretty good. That is pretty good right there. The Patriots can clinch the number one overall draft pick with a loss in Week 18 against the Bills. Again, the Bills probably aren't playing any of their key starters, but they're still favored in that game. So you got that. All right, Denver and Cincinnati. What a game. Bo Nix is the real deal. You know, I won't spend a lot of time on that. Obviously, we're going to prioritize him next year. He's got mobility. He can throw the ball around the yard. He turned into a lot better a pro already than I think a lot of people expected, maybe even over the course of his entire career. But here he is, and I think this is sustainable for him. I think he's going to be a very nice pro. Maybe not super, super, super high ceiling, but the ability as a runner. You know, we often talk about those guys as being like high ceiling guys, but they're not. When you run as a quarterback, that means you have a high floor. Like, he gave 7 for 31 in this game. You know, 3.1 points right off the bat. Like, just handed to you, and then he has some juice as a passer with the 3 passing touchdowns. And the key here, he unlocked Marvin Mims down the stretch. You know, this is the Marvin Mims that we had hoped we were going to see all along, and now we're getting it. Like, that's the sign of a great quarterback right there. But even better on the other side, 4-12 and 3 from Joe Burrow. He now has 8 straight games with 250 plus passing yards, 3 plus passing touchdowns. The record was 7 that he set last week. Now it's 8. So 4,641 passing yards this season. They're going to play for their playoff lives next week. They are the first game of the 3 teams who can get in. So Denver and Miami are the other 2. They both play in the 4 o'clock Eastern window on Sunday, but you get a Saturday evening game here for Cincinnati against the Steelers. And the Steelers are underdogs in this one, home underdogs. So that's going to be a hell of a game. But the key here, not only playing for their playoff lives, Burrow could hit 5,000 passing yards this year. Like, it's now all of a sudden doable after this game. He has, what, 359? Very doable for Joe Burrow. It's a tough defense, but very doable. T. Higgins goes bananas in this game, which was good to see if you had him, not good to see if you faced him. And even for a quieter game, it wasn't quiet, but a quieter game for Ja'Marr Chase, he still has 9 for 102. marching his way towards that triple crown. T. Higgins is going to get paid in free agency, and I doubt the Bengals keep him. Moving on to the next contest, Arizona and the Rams, really not much doing here. The Rams get by. They end up ultimately clinching the division later on in, it was on Sunday that they clinched the division. So they're in the postseason. I think probably the biggest takeaway here on the Rams side is Cooper Kupp is fading hard, like Jordy Nelson league career hard. It sucks to see it. It really does. But this is what happens when you get into your 30s. You know, and a lot of people thought I was bananas crazy, and maybe I am. But when I said when he was 29 that I was trading him away in Dynasty, that was the perfect time to trade him away. Now, you're never going to find that exact perfect time. Like, you're not going to know it's the perfect time. And sometimes maybe you trade a guy away at 29 at wide receiver, and he goes on to have a couple more good years. But the reason why I do it is for this. Like, when these guys fall off, it happens rapidly. And then they go from being wide receiver ones, like I'm talking about like the elite guys. They go from wide receiver ones to almost unstartable overnight. Like, that happened with Jordy Nelson, and you know, it happened with AJ Green, and it happened with Julio Jones, and you know, any of these guys that you can think of, it happened to them. Even though they stick around in the NFL Jordy Nelson really didn't stick around for much longer, but AJ Green had a couple years there. Julio Jones bounced around on a few teams, but they fall off the cliff. Dez Bryant fell off a cliff. Done. You know, and that's the reason why I have the dynasty criteria. Trey McBride, not done. He's pretty awesome. Another big game for him. Finally caught a touchdown on his 98th catch of the season. Huge, huge year for him. Jets, Buffalo, really not much doing here to be said. Aaron Rodgers apparently will play next week. That almost certainly will be his last game with the Jets. Buffalo destroyed them. Even Amari Cooper scored a touchdown in this one. James Cook, another touchdown. Remember, that was a big issue with him last year because the yardage was great, but not the touchdown productivity. But here we go. Another big one for James Cook. So you got to like that right there. Aaron Rodgers, no passing touchdowns. So he's still stuck at 499, but he did pass Tom Brady. So he set a record in this game. Most sacks by a quarterback all time. Not a good record to have for Aaron Rodgers. Let's see. Yeah, that's all I have for this game. We have to be wary that they'll rest starters. Raiders, Saints. Okay, so the Raiders won again. Back-to-back wins. They were the number 2 overall pick. They were sitting there. You know, you could have your choice, likely, of quarterback. You know, the way I think it was setting up that they were the 2 and they would have been the first team to need a quarterback, right? Could have had whoever you wanted. Shador Sanders, Cam Ward. Cool. Now you're the number 8. And while people were making a big deal about the Giants moving, the Giants are still, they're 4. So Tennessee at 2 right now in the draft, they would almost certainly take a quarterback there. But you have New England at 1, not going to take a quarterback. You have Cleveland at 3 right now, not going to take a quarterback because they just restructured Deshaun Watson. He's going to be the quarterback in 2025. Like, it is what it is. You know, they sealed that deal a long time ago. So the Giants at 4 still could take, like, say Shador goes at 2, then Cam Ward goes at 4. There's no more quarterbacks after that. For the Raiders at 8, you're going to have to bring in a veteran. And, you know, you're going to have to do better than bringing in a veteran who is clearly a backup, you know, like they did this year. And I don't think anybody expected Gardner Minshew to just all of a sudden have like a revitalization, because he isn't a revitalization guy. Like, people keep talking about Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, but these guys were like high pedigree guys coming into the league. And just because you're a first rounder doesn't mean you're going to be a high quality starter, but you have a better chance than a guy who is a day 2 or day 3 pick, you know? And so they need to do something here. I don't know what it is, but winning these 2 games, the Raiders, Brock Bowers setting the record. He set several records here. So he broke Mike Ditka's rookie tight end mark that was over 60 years old. I know Ditka did it in 14 games. We're not taking this away from Ditka, right? Nobody's saying, oh, Ditka sucks now or something like that. Nobody would ever say that. But Bowers is having an incredible season, and he did this in 16 games, not 17. Like, Bowers is awesome. He set the rookie receptions record. He set the team receptions record. Bowers is awesome. Amir Abdullah had his first 100-yard game in this one in 141 games and, of course, got hurt. So, yay. And there was really nothing doing on the New Orleans side. Hopefully you didn't use Kendre Miller. That was not good. All right, so we're going to pay some bills like we do, and then we'll come back and continue to recap all the action from a wild Week 17 Sunday. And we're back. Get excited, Giants fans. Your team just played yourself out of the top pick in the draft, moving down to number four with a big win over the Colts. Colts, of course, knocked out of playoff contention with this loss. And man, the reactions were quite intense there from Colts fans. I can only imagine what that must be like. But hey, the good news is if you're a Giants fan and you think they're not going to get a quarterback, if they stay at four, right now New England's at one, they're not going to draft a quarterback. Tennessee at two, yeah, they seem likely. But then Cleveland, after restructuring Deshaun Watson's deal, they're not likely to draft a quarterback there. I would be surprised. So the Giants at four could still get Cam Ward if Shador Sanders goes at two. So there you go. Somebody could potentially trade up with the Patriots, but I don't know. Like, the trade up in a year like this, I don't think it makes that much sense, because I don't view Shador Sanders or Cam Ward as absolute rock star, can't miss, got to get these guys, trade the farm for them type prospects. We shall see, though. Anyway, Malik Nabers had a hell of a game, 104 receptions on the season now, tied for third most by a rookie all time. Only Brock Bowers and Puka Nacua have more. Seems like he'll blow by Nacua. Will he be able to catch Bowers in the final week of the season? It's going to take a lot of effort, but still tremendous season for him, and helped a lot of folks get to their fantasy championships. I will say this, Jonathan Taylor, most of the season was not spectacular. It was good. Like, when you look at the overall numbers on the year, very good season. In fact, after this game, you have 1,254 rushing yards, so he's going to be a 1,300-yard rusher. You have 10 rushing touchdowns, although five of them came in the last 2 weeks. So when you look at this overall, he did miss some time in here, but a really good season. The thing about that, though, is when you look at the overall season, you don't see the ebbs and flows of the season, and there were a lot of ebbs and flows in the middle of the year with Jonathan Taylor that, you know, you just miss when you look at the overall. But still, solid end to the year for him. He was a good DFS option. And how about this? Michael Pittman Jr., quarterbacks do matter, because with Flacco, he has three touchdowns on the season. On the season, he has three touchdowns. So for Michael Pittman Jr., him and Anthony Richardson just don't mesh. Anthony Richardson seems to do better with Josh Downs. Josh Downs didn't perform well here. It's more Pierce and Pittman who perform well with Flacco. I don't know what they're going to do next year. I mean, it seems like you're going to have to force the issue with Richardson. The challenge that you often have with inaccurate quarterbacks is developing accuracy at the pro level is a rare thing. I don't want to say it's impossible. I always use the example of Josh Allen, who notably got a lot more accurate at the pro level after not being the most accurate at the college level. Now, granted, at Wyoming, was he playing with, you know, five-star wide receivers? No, not necessarily, but still, he had accuracy issues in the beginning of his career, and he's tightened that all up. So I don't want to say it's impossible, but man, it just feels like there's the deck stacked against the Colts right now. It stinks if you're a Colts fan. Stinks if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, because the Philadelphia Eagles beat up on the Cowboys with Kenny Pickett and Tanner McKee under center. They won 41-7. Of course, the big story from this game, Saquon Barkley becoming the ninth player in NFL history to top 2,000 rushing yards in a season. He goes 31 for 167. He did catch two balls for 2 yards, but what do we care? He's there. He did it. Now he needs 101 rushing yards to break the all-time record by Eric Dickerson. I don't know if he plays, though. You know, this team is they're a team who can make a run here. You know, certainly could make a push. They now have the number two seed locked up. They're not playing for anything next week. So do you really want to do that? I mean, part of it is, though, you're playing the Giants. So is there motivation there? Perhaps. I think cooler heads are going to prevail. I don't think we see him. I don't think we see A.J. Brown. I don't think we see Devontae Smith. I don't think we see Jalen Hurts. Maybe some of the key defensive players as well. It's tricky, but that's kind of where we are with this one. Carolina and Tampa Bay. And by the way, to the people of Week 18 Fantasy Championships, you had Saquon Barkley. You did a hell of a job, and now you likely won't have him. Carolina-Tampa Bay, the story of this game, Baker Mayfield. he now looks almost guaranteed to have a 40 passing touchdown season. He has already set his career best in passing yards. He just continues to add to that. Back-to-back 4,000-yard seasons with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He never had one before this point. 5 passing touchdowns, 359. Connects twice with Mike Evans, talk about him in a minute. Twice with Jalen McMillan, who has been on fire down the stretch, man. And even Payne Durham. Who? They had Payne Durham and Devin Culp out there catching passes at tight end with no Cade Otton, and it did not matter. Bucky Irving, 20 for 113, okay. 4 for 77, also okay. Mike Evans is closing in on the 1,000-yard mark, has 85 yards to go. Whatever the over is this week, I am betting it because they're going to force feed him to get him to this remarkable number. Hopefully he does do it. On the Carolina side, I mean, Adam Thielen went off 5 for 110 and 2 scores. Bryce Young answered all the questions. You know, this is a team now, I don't think they need a quarterback. You know, and on the other side, a great example here. Former number one overall, fell on tough times. People called him a bust. Now look at Baker Mayfield. It's sometimes for these guys, especially a quarterback, the learning curve is very steep. It just takes a while. But when they get there, watch out. I believe in Bryce Young. I do for the future. And hopefully, if you're an FTN subscriber, I got a lot of questions about Raheem Blackshear and Mike Boone with Chuba Hubbard out. And I said, avoid at all costs. And that didn't mean like avoid unless you're absolutely desperate. Like I will tell you desperation plays. I always do. It was avoid at all costs. And well, you should have avoided it at all costs because, wow, it was not good. It was a noticeable drop off. Like, I really appreciate how good Chuba Hubbard is now after having seen that yesterday. All right. Tennessee and Jacksonville. Do I really need to talk about this? Brian Thomas Jr. is really good. Third rookie in NFL history with 80 plus receptions, 1,000 plus receiving yards, 10 plus receiving touchdowns in a single season. The other two to do so, Ja'Marr Chase, Odell Beckham Jr. LSU, baby, LSU. There's really nothing else to be said here other than the Titans are 2-14 against the spread. That is the worst against the spread record by any team since at least 1970. I don't know when did the spreads even come into play? I mean, either way, since the merger, that's terrible. 2-14 against the spread. Wow. Okay, let's move on. Miami and Cleveland. Honestly, you know, Miami wins here. They needed to win. Tyler Huntley looked pretty decent. Like, he wasn't amazing, but he got, you know, he got Tyreek Hill going. He threw the ball around a little bit, was very accurate, didn't make a lot of longer throws, high air yard throws, but that's fine. That was, like, really smart game planning by Mike McDaniel. You didn't, unfortunately, get Achane in this game. It's going to happen. They used a little bit more Mostert than I had expected, but, you know, that's going to be part of it, and ultimately, you know, Huntley connected with Jonnu Smith as well. Huntley was fine. You know, he ended up being fine. Dorian Thompson-Robinson was not fine on the other side with the exception of 18 targets to Jerry Jeudy. Like, he definitely got that assignment right. Otherwise, that was it. Jerry Jeudy, 12 for 94. Great season for this dude. Despite all of the mess that they've had to deal with at quarterback, really great season. Green Bay, Minnesota. So, the winner of the Vikings-Lions, regardless of what happens tonight, will get the division, and they will also get the number one overall seed. This is important because if you lose, you're in the number five seed. You're a road team, even though you have one of the most wins in the NFL. You're still going to be a road team the first week in the playoffs. And number five seeds have made it to the Super Bowl just 3 times since the fifth seed was introduced. Playoffs expanded to 5 teams in 1978. So that was the first time we ever had a 5 seed. Only 3 times. Number one seeds have made 49 Super Bowl trips. So big difference between those two. That's going to be fun. But this was ultimately set up by a big win from Minnesota. Of course, the story of this game. Sam Darnold, yet again. Sam Darnold. What a season this guy has had. If you haven't seen the welcome that his teammates gave him when he came to the locker room after the game, like, so he had to do post game interviews. So he comes walking in. It you know, gives you chills to see it. 377 and 3. He threw one to Jordan Addison, early to Jalen Naylor, and then late to Cam Akers, who was in there full time because Aaron Jones exited with an injury. That seems to be the case for Aaron Jones this season. Justin Jefferson, 8 for 92. So like a floor game out of him, you know, nice and easy there out of Justin Jefferson. No touchdowns, but either way, I guess if there is another story to this game, it was how good the Minnesota defense was. Yes, it was a 2-point game, but largely, I mean, it was, all right. So you go to the third quarter and Minnesota was up 20-3, you know, and they kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit. They were still up 27-10. And then, yeah, Green Bay gets back into it. You know, they made an effort here. Green Bay could be dangerous in the playoffs regardless, you know, depending. It looks like they're either going to be the 6 or the 7, but, you know, they could still be dangerous. It's a good team. They just were overmatched by Minnesota's defense in this one. All right, we'll round it out with a game for the ages, Washington and Atlanta. And if only Younghoe Koo was in, he certainly would have made a 56-yard field goal, or at least he would have given it the distance. He may not have been accurate. You never know, but he has 56 yards in his leg. Riley Patterson does not. And so this went to overtime where the Commanders ultimately won. A couple things. I mean, Jaden Daniels, the remarkable season ended in really tremendous fashion. It'll go down that he was a top 5 fantasy quarterback every single week of the fantasy playoffs. Even though he had a little bit of a lull in the middle of the season, he's going, you know, this was a season for the ages. This was one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen. And this was a Lamar line, 227-3, 16 carries for 127 yards. Tremendous, tremendous stuff there out of Jaden Daniels. Olamide Zaccheaus showing up again. All right, whatever. It's unfortunate that Terry McLaurin only had a catch for 5 yards. He was targeted 7 times, but this was largely Zach Ertz and Olamide Zaccheaus. No touchdown for Brian Robinson, so he ended up being a bit of a dud as well. To the other side, Michael Penix, it was far from a perfect performance, but when the game was on the line in the fourth quarter, he led that game-tying drive with the touchdown pass to Kyle Pitts, and he did some really impressive things. They converted 2 fourth-and-longs that, and including the touchdown was on a 4th-and-long, that Kirk Cousins would have done, he would not have done that in a million years. Just would not have been able to. So the future is bright for Michael Penix. He's young, but he shows so much promise. I mean, he's not that young. Let's say he's green because he came in as an older rookie. He's green with only 2 starts under his belt, but so much promise here. Drake London, 7 for 106. I mean, that all looked good. And then, of course, Bijan Robinson, 2 more touchdowns for him, 17 for 90 and 2 scores was so good as well. They came up just short. Now Atlanta needs to win, and they need Tampa to lose in order to make it to the postseason for them. So a lot of moving pieces there. Essentially, we have a lot of stuff locked up, but not everything. As far as the playoff picture is concerned, you have Denver. If they win, they're in. If they lose and Miami wins, Miami is in. If they both lose and Cincinnati wins, Cincinnati is in. We also have the AFC North up for grabs. Baltimore wins, they get it. Pittsburgh loses, Baltimore gets it. Pittsburgh needs to win and Baltimore to lose. Otherwise, everything else is set over there. Chiefs, Bills, Texans clinched and not moving. The only team clinched and not moving in terms of seeding on the NFC side is the Eagles. But we do have all of the teams set. It's just now the ordering of the teams. So the NFC North is up for grabs between Minnesota and Detroit. NFC South is up for grabs between Tampa and Atlanta, although obviously they're not both making the playoffs. We know it's going to be one of those two teams. Otherwise, that's it. So the Rams are officially in. And the Commanders and Packers are either the 6 or the 7. Crazy. Crazy. Here we go. All right. So, by the way, I'll be back on Thursday this week. We'll do Thursday and Friday this week. In the meantime, FTNFantasy.com. Happy New Year to everybody. It's been a great year. 2025 is going to be even better. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter/X. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. And you know how we do. I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.